Good evening. I'd like to read the passage, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll start in verse 5 and read through 12. I'd like you to keep your Bibles open to that as I speak. I've been thinking about what I've done, and I don't. I kind of feel I let the congregation down because I don't go verse by verse in a way that verse by verse is generally thought. I write in a form more of an essay, so I'm talking about this all the way through. You guys find me out, will you? Okay. Raise your hands if I move aside. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each opportunity to be together. We thank you that we've got these ones who are gathered around us and us around them who desire to be together for the careful examination of your word and careful obedience to those things in the days of our lives. Bless us as we seek to be Christians. Bless us, Lord, in this evening. Help us to help me to speak. Help each one to understand and to be blessed by the truths I seek to bring. Lord, the blessing is from you. We do cast ourselves upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned true faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that is in you also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, I started preparing for this 4 or 5 weeks ago, and this is the 21st iteration. So I was searching for a passage that I could try to follow through and not be caught in seeing an interesting thing in verse 1 and going to 7 other sites to find other interesting things, which led me in other directions. But for a long time, my mind has, and my private prayers, and even my public prayers, have been to beseech the Lord to make me to be a Christian. The force of that prayer is, I believe, on the word be. Now, in speaking those words in a prayer, I'm admitting that with Paul in 2 Timothy, that I'm not ashamed of whom I presently am and what I presently believe. But I do know, whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, we have been together in fellowship long enough to realize by words and by observations that most, if not all of us here tonight, are actually Christians. So I would submit that when I pray regarding our fellowship together, I pray, make us to be Christians. Then, as I've tried to make myself better understand what I've been asking and thinking about, I have needed to think more closely about what this this word to be means for me and perhaps might mean for us all. When I casually, well, I casually know a lot of words, but when I want to carefully know a word, I need to look in the dictionary, and I generally find out that there's a lot of things that I casually thought I knew that were not enough as to what the fuller meaning was. So I want to start out by looking a little more carefully about what the word be means. Now, you'd be surprised, you will be surprised, that the word be in the Oxford Dictionary goes on with a definition that is 1,200 words long. That is quite a multiplication. Briefly think of, as you think of be and think with me, think of be, think of is and am and are and aren't and was and were, and consider since I have been and before I was and when I will be and what I will be. And then you could also think, if you would at this time, when I will be through giving you a definition. But be denotes having a place in the realm of fact, that is to live and to exist. Be also includes having come into existence to occur or to take place. And also to exist or to be in a certain place or condition, even to occupy oneself in a certain way. Be can be described as an act of being, of an act of describing continuation or endurance. Now, I've written that whole thing down, and then I've highlighted something out of that whole thing. And be, let me gather myself here. Be is having a place in the realm of fact, having come into existence, being in a certain place or condition to occupy oneself in a certain way, describing continuations or endurance. Now, if you can hang on to that, that's what I mean. That it's not that I am for a moment a Christian, or I was a Christian, or I will be a Christian, but it's all of that together, that to be a Christian. You know, God gives us that thought when he described who he was to Moses. He says, I am. And in vernacular, he could have said, I be. Because what he is, and he isn't anything else, ever. Well, okay, I'm done with that. You can relax. To bring this all back into our text in Paul's second letter, I'm going to be talking a little bit first about chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul has extended his greeting to Timothy and has expressed thanks to God for the privilege of his apostolic office, even as he rejoices in the affection and confidence he feels for Timothy, who is learning to share an under-shepherd's ministerial burden. Verse 5, I'm going to read that here for you again. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. The thought is that before Paul knew Timothy, Timothy was being put in preparation for Paul to know him and for Paul to call him to be a Christian, not to be a Christian, to be an under-shepherd that Paul could mentor and bring into service. Okay, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, this verse continues to rejoice not only in Paul's satisfaction with Timothy's present development, but gives us background whereby we may see influences and providences by which Timothy was shaped to become what Timothy was wanted by God to be in those moments. Paul is here celebrating out of the truths of Acts 17:25. He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before anointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. We live and move and have our being. Now, those words were specifically given in relation to Paul's sermon at Mars Hill and didn't particularly relate to Timothy, but they do relate to all men, I believe. They relate to all men. They are of some importance to us in our place in time and to Timothy in his place in time, and so they were to the people of that time in their places and their time. This is part of what was for me an astonishing realization that God has before ordained to choose and secure a remnant out of the whole body of mankind, which he had allowed to be separated from himself at that fatal tree in the suburbs of Eden. You might be prone to hold back. Well, I don't need that. I was going to say you might be prone to hold back a yawn and say, yes, I've known that for a long time. But God would always want us to be refreshed again and again with the same truths because they are the only truths. One who is a Christian and who is becoming a Christian wants and needs to know, that is to experience, the refreshing knowledge of the parts and parcels of the Scripture frequently and must meditate and turn these things over in the mind continually. We must be engaged with God at some level in all the times of our lives. Paul's encouragements and Paul's charge to Timothy are meant for all of us, are meant for all of times succeeding Timothy's. Now that, I guess, is the first or another key to what I'm going to be trying to bring you tonight, that we are Timothy's in succession from Paul. Timothy was a disciple. We are disciples. And where Paul gives charges and assurances to Timothy, why, those same things apply to us. And we need to be aware of those and seek to groom and be groomed in those things for God's service. Don't want to speak off my notes because then I never know where to go back. But they're meant to be succeeding Timothy's. That is, those called to be disciples down through the generations who will be tendered a disciple's opportunity and a disciple's obligation to present and defend God's gospel into the world. The needy are always present, and the defense never rests. So, the ones called to be disciples need to be consistently ready to be exercised in their preparations, to be stirred in the gift and power which is being put into their waiting hands, even down through the generations, down through the ages. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Here is assurance and reassurance that God is steadily equipping his disciples for the rigors of service they may be called into. Now, Alistair Begg, in a message that Doris and I listened to recently on the book of Titus, remarked on this unique time in history when Paul was mentoring and helping Timothy take up his place in the church. The apostolic age was closing with the deaths of the apostles. They were concluding their days and their years of ministry by handing off the responsibilities to prepared younger men. The warnings about heresy and false teachers became increasingly present in the later epistles. New voices would be required to sound the gospel down through the centuries and to ages more and more distant from Jerusalem, to areas more distant from Jerusalem. As I've been thinking about those things in the past month, Doris and I had occasion to rent the movie 42. I'm not going to be a movie critic here, so don't worry about that. Alert for spiritual content on applications of choices and events I had been being made ready to find a lesson even in this film. It's the story of the introduction of a Negro baseball player into a previously all-white professional baseball team. That was Jackie Robinson with the Brooklyn Dodgers. This provoked many race-related problems among players and fans alike. But gradually, these issues were submerged as Robinson's ability proved him eminently qualified to be where he was called to be. He had been equipped, and he had come. The thing which moved me most, was a conversation between a team executive and, I think, a reporter. The reporter asked, "Why Robinson?" He asked, and "Who else might you have chosen?" And he asks, and "Why do we need to do this now?" And Branch Rickey answered, and this kind of teared me up and raised the hackles on the back of my neck. He said, Branch Rickey, the actor for Branch Rickey, said, "Because it's the right thing to do, and because there are others out there who will deserve a chance. They are out there. We don't know yet who they are, but they're getting ready, and they're coming. They will be needed, and they're coming." It seemed to me to be a shadow of the same sort of trust and dependence God has injected into and relied upon in his use of leaders and prophets and priests and heroes and apostles down through the ages. God planted them out there, and God grew and groomed them for the times of their emergence. Paul, through his sorrows and trials, was waiting even until Paul was ripe, and waiting even until Paul was ripe for his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, before Paul knew he was being readied to come to that encounter, he was being made ready. Paul is made willing, and then Paul is shown obedient, and then Paul is enlarged by God to manifest his emergence as an apostle. In his turn, Paul mentors Timothy, who has been prepared and made willing for his turn. Timothy was nurtured by Paul to learn doctrine and obedience worthy of service as a disciple of Jesus Christ in company with Paul until Paul was taken out of the way. So proceeds the patient relay of God's faithful disciples, even in our own country, even into our own country, and even into our own time. Faithful men, faithful to the scriptures, diligent to resist the evil, giving forth the words of life. Each disciple, holy, prepared, and wholly prepared for his own generation, coming from out there. Made willing and made able, out of the mists and out of the years, they have come and they are coming. Each in God's time, to the place that God was opening, to the place prepared. They're coming armed with power, steeped in God, in godly love, enabled by a sound mind to speak the truth. This is plainly God's way. Be not therefore ashamed that you are not meant for the culture you seem to be in, but be in preparation for the trials we must face as disciples for Christ. We are each of us being what we are to become. We alone in our time, we are alone in our time, but not for long. God is forever with us. Only be as Paul and as Timothy, even as they showed in their time. Be thou therefore partakers of the afflictions of the gospel, even as you have been partaking of the goodnesses of the gospel hopes. Let us all be resolved to stand, be made to stand, even in the shadows of service, not yet willing to be drawn into the heats of a Christian testimony in hard places, should he call us there. The importance of our lives and the impacts of our devotions may seem small in the eyes of the world. One little church willing to honor plain, simple obedience in a time when those who seemed to be our brothers wander, when those claim to share our table and delight in our repasts hunger for something more, and delight in, and who would delight in our repasts hunger for something more, when so many now flee from what we see as pure devotion, what we see as manna, these flee. One time, brothers, turn away. Let us stand and rely on the power and vision God gives us in plain obedience. We are blessed in our devotions. We are girt about with truth, and we can advance confident in the breastplate of God's righteousness. Though the enemy thrust at us from the shadows or out of the glarings meant to blind us, let us take our commitments and own that our sword only cleaves for good with the captain who has won the day we labor in. The ranks that them who cannot claim a place in his army confuse and are confused of his curious call to arms and who he calls. He does not now call us to dance before the sure and certain triumphal arch, but rather he calls us to march in measured time with him against the bent and broken crusts of what we have become. Let us not be Achans, seizing on pale prizes that turn us from the larger engagement. Though we seem, even to ourselves, so small, a little army dropped into a proud opposing camp, let us remember we are not, as it may seem, alone. For the King and Captain, he is with us, and he is for us. The victory is of his hands. We are not called to win it. We are, however, called to stand. To stand, to watch and pray. The fullness of his army is being mustered still. They are in the way. They are on the way. They are coming past us. They are coming. More soldiers, more true soldiers of the true cross. They are on the way, and we are the vanguard for them, for Christ. We must not be confused by the some who found that what seems, or who found what seems to be our uniforms, yet know not how to march within the captain's cadences. But we must be as sure as saints, following on Christ's clarion call, high and clean, penetrating ears keyed upon its simple strains and purity, the clarion call rising well above all cant and all confusion, shaming every other melody that lures to lusts, that charms the flesh and draws into the world's confusions. Ephesians 6:8 says, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same thing, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And in Timothy, our passage is, for it is Christ who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purposes and grace, which had been given for us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And now it's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I, now that is Paul, am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now we know that Paul was not and is not the only one appointed to be this equipped and diligent servant of God. God has given him to bring the words of hope and the hope of all the words to all God's people in all the times of the tribulation wars. But that as Paul was coming down through the years, God had his commandos already in the field, and a host in reserve, his Enoch and his Noah, his Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Samuel, David, all these disciples of the one who would come forth revealed as the king and conqueror, prophet and priest before all, God's chief disciple, God's own son, to perfect the eternal intention, to give an eternal emblem worn not on the breasts of his warrior uniform, but in their transformed hearts. Now would the captain, the chief shepherd, show the clearest images of who had gone, trusting also in them who would go on, who would go. Let me read that again. Now would the captain, the chief shepherd, show the clearest images of them who had gone, trusting also in them who would go, believing, into the tidal advance that rushes from the epic of the cross and the resurrection. The unseen captain is made manifest within the rank. He joins to them who faithfully went before, those of the same caliber and those who would be seen coming after. All of the same design, all in the same font, all marching to the same sure beat and bugles leading. These are the 12, and with them those who walked with persevering steps where Jesus walked. With them Peter, Paul, James, and John, among the disciples with disciples, or among the apostles with disciples, Mark and Barnabas, Timothy and Titus, so that when some fell to age, there would be raised up the others who had been preparing and were on the way. These having been put in the way with those disciples who walked not onto the pages of Scripture, but into the annals and registers as disciples of the cross, soldiers of the Scripture, unnamed but not unknown to God, nor unremarked of men. We are of that rank and file. We know to whom we have been drawn, and we are charged to stand to his order and stand fast in his power. For the which cause also we endure these things. Nevertheless, we are not ashamed, for we know whom we have believed and are persuaded that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are able to keep that which we have, keep it committed unto him against that day. That's all I have. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might somehow be sobered to the responsibility of receiving the commission of the apostles that was passed down to disciple, 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 until in the occurrence of time and travel, it has reached us here in this place. We pray that you give us the courage to be the disciple that is needed for these times in this place. Let each of us be patient and practice to be Christians. In Jesus' name. Amen.